Senators vote today on a tough new food inspection bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The global perspective coming up. First, the U.S. Senate today is likely to pass sweeping new food safety reforms. The legislation steps up federal inspections and the ability for the government to recall bad food. But bioengineers keep churning out new kinds of food for regulators to oversee. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
Critics call it the Botox apple. It's a genetically modified apple that doesn't turn brown soon after slicing. Bioengineers turned off the enzyme that triggers discoloration. Neil Carter heads the Canadian company seeking approval to market the apple here.
You know, the consumer will see an apple that appears better. They can cut it in their home and, the night before and put it in the kids' lunch, and it won't be brown in the kids' lunch where they go, yuck, I'm not eating that.
But retailers and consumers will ultimately determine this apple's success. Genetically modified potatoes failed here after McDonald's refused to buy them. Food activists like Andrew Kimbrell are already frowning on this apple.
We here at the Center for Food Safety are actually concerned that by not turning brown, it may not alert cooks and consumers to the fact that these apples are spoiled.
But one analyst says a little cosmetic surgery may just be what the lowly apple needs. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. If you're keeping score, it's been a tough year for people who have suffered at the hands of catastrophes. There was the horrific earthquake in Haiti, devastating floods in Pakistan, and the oil spill in our own backyard in the Gulf of Mexico. Added to all the other disasters on the planet, a new study says the price tag is triple what it was last year. From London, Christopher Worth explains.
Globally, that's $220 billion in economic losses from major catastrophes. Thomas Hess is with Swiss Re, the insurer that issued the report. However, the cost to the global insurance industry is up only about a third to $36 billion. He says that discrepancy has to do with the fact that the places that saw the worst natural disasters this year, notably Haiti and Pakistan, lack viable insurance.
So a lot has to be done in these markets to make these things insurable and also to facilitate that people can afford such insurance.
He says if people in those countries had insurance, that could have helped prevent further losses and could have saved lives, as insurers typically push for making buildings safer. Indeed, the study shows the human cost is even greater this year. Severe catastrophes claimed the lives of nearly 260,000 people, compared to a world total of 15,000 just last year. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Global stocks are all over the place at the moment. An encouraging unemployment report in Germany has shares higher there, but European debt and fears of Chinese inflation are keeping most markets on the minus side today. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost under 0.5%. The Dow fell 39 points to end the day at 11,052.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
With the European bailout and a whole lot of budget cuts in the works, you might think it's not the best time to open a new public attraction in Ireland. But some brave souls who believe magic can still happen, even in a tough economy, have done just that by opening a leprechaun museum. Reporter Anne-Marie McNerney visited the museum in Dublin and filed this report.
Leprechaun is a magical being. They are small-sized people. You know one when you see one.
Tom O'Rahilly is the founder and director of the world's first leprechaun museum. It opened its doors last March, just on time for St. Patrick's Day.
We've had 40,000 people through the doors now. We're attracting 75% foreign visitors, 25% domestic.
It couldn't be a tougher time to start a new business in Ireland.
That's true, and there's a range of difficulties presented, but there's opportunities there as well. This business wasn't viable 3 years ago. This building was scheduled for demolition. It didn't get demolished because the market declined. We were able to rent it at a reasonable rate then.
This is Ireland, Ireland of myths and legends. Our stories rooted in reality and steeped in fantasy.
The Leprechaun Museum invites people into a leprechaun-sized world and allows them to journey to the end of the rainbow to see if that crock of gold exists. Dáithí Ó-Hógáin, a professor at the Department of Folklore in University College Dublin, says the museum opens up the realm of folklore and fairy people to the public.
This museum consists of storytelling, maps and various reconstructions of fairy dwellings and so on. The leprechaun is, if you like, the little doorman who invites you in to this view of the other world.
At first, when you go through, it's really dark and really scary.
We loved it. It was beautiful. The interior is amazing. And then the story of the stories is brilliantly told.
Believe it or not, leprechauns are not just a Hollywood invention. The first documentary evidence goes back to the 8th century. So to the really important question, do leprechauns still exist? Tom O'Rahilly of the Leprechaun Museum in Dublin.
If they've been around for 1300 years and the cynics haven't managed to get rid of them now, well, they're obviously quite persistent and there's a reason for them being here. They're part of the culture.
In Dublin, I'm Anne-Marie McNerney for Marketplace.
And finally, it was an effort to save his state some money. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie put the kibosh on another Hudson River transit tunnel that would connect his state to New York. It would cost billions of dollars. Christie was afraid cost overruns would bankrupt the Garden State. But Uncle Sam was pitching in some of the money, and now the federal government sent a bill to New Jersey requesting repayment of cash it had already spent on that project before it was ditched. $271 million, payable upon receipt and with reasonable interest. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Queen's Cove in the Bahamas is beautiful, but rising oceans mean it gets hammered by hurricanes. You can't get insurance, which means you can't get a mortgage, so
a lot of people have just walked away from their homes. And then you had some people who sold it for next to nothing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, insurance companies, climate change, and how we live. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.